Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Monday to you. Thank you for joining me at a special time today, 2 o'clock. Suns Media Day took place, so had to be present for that. This is PLR, this is the Cave Show. Like I said, thank you for joining me at a special time today. Back to business as usual tomorrow. I do appreciate you hanging out with me. All right, what's on the docket tonight? Jimmy G. Done. What if you were sacking a quarterback? But you know, if you sack the quarterback and you landed on top of him, you'd get a flag. They decided not to sack the quarterback that way. But in turn, you get hurt. So you're ACL. So after going to the Bears game this weekend, I wrote about Josh Rosen. And is it his turn? Well, after a lot of, not sure, we'll look at the film, we'll see. We'll tell you what answer was good. Suns look fresh and ready. I have a lot of sound throughout the week on their media day today. And Devin Booker's playing with one hand, sort of. All that and more on the Cave Show today. This is PLR. Welcome to the Cave Show. We are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona. 4991 Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get down and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. And never worry about your sticks going bad. You can also watch a ton of television. They do have the NFL League Pass, or NFL Ticket. All the games are on consistently, and they also serve beer and wine. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, Alma School in Chandler Heights. Let them know PLR sent you. 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. All right, let's get into this, everyone. We're going to start with the NFL. What the hell happened in Minnesota? The Buffalo Bills are supposed to be, if not the, one of the worst teams in football. They're supposed to be that. Allegedly. They went up to Minnesota and stomped a mud hole in Minnesota. At one point, it was 27-0 on the way to a 27-3 finale. Our 27-6 finale. So your Buffalo Bills now have the same record as your New England Patriots and your New York Jets. They're both 1-2. And the Miami Dolphins, let me say this one more time. The Miami Dolphins at 3-0 sit atop the AFC East. Let me paint this picture really clear for everyone. So that way, there's no mistaking what I'm about to say. All right? You ready for this? Miami goes to New England next week. And I know for the last few years, we keep trying to come up with these dates when we think it's all going to come to an end for the New England Patriots. Every year, we keep circling saying, this has to be the year, this has to be the year, they can't keep doing this. Tom Brady, yeah, he may be arguably the GOAT at quarterback, but they can't keep doing this. It's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. And every year he goes out, Belichick goes out, Gronk goes out, list of characters go out, they prove everybody wrong. Is this a year there's a chink in the armor? New England went into Detroit, and it wasn't even close. I mean, the score, it wasn't a blowout. But it wasn't even close. And so now they're 1-2, and you're looking at a team 20-point differential in offense to defense. When was the last time you heard anyone say, after three games, the New England Patriots' defense was worse than their offense? We keep talking about Sam Darnold, and he's a rookie, and what he has to do, and the Jets this, and the Jets that. People, the Jets have scored more points up to this point than the New England Patriots. And just to jump on that a little bit further, these are the teams that we thought were going to rise to the top this year in their respective divisions. New York, Pittsburgh, and guess what? I'm sorry, New England and Pittsburgh. New England scored 57 points. Pittsburgh has scored 58. In fairness to them, though, they've only played two games. So it's one league where you can go from worst to first really fast. If Miami goes into New England and they win next Sunday, which has become a real possibility, you realize New England will start 1-3, the Dolphins will be 4-0, and they will already have a three-game lead over the New England Patriots and have a tiebreaker? Do you realize if Pittsburgh goes down to Tampa tonight and lose, they will be 0-2-1? These are the things that's happening in the NFL this year in the AFC. Do you realize Mahomes in Kansas City just threw another touchdown? And another one, and another one, and another one. Do you realize the Chargers, who many teams picked to go to the Super Bowl? They're the Chargers. They're 1-2 again to start the season. And they are a minus 11 in point differential. So, things aren't going in the AFC the way a lot of people picture them to go. In the NFC, if I would have told you the Chicago Bears were leading the NFC North, you'd probably tell me I was crazy. Well, considering Green Bay got waxed by Washington yesterday, and Minnesota somehow lost at home to the Buffalo Bills by over 20 points, who would have seen that coming? But rest assured, the one team that we said would be very, very, very good, the Los Angeles Rams, they are not disappointing. You realize offensively they put up 102 points and they've only given up 36? That's a 66-point differential. Now, KC is putting up points. They put up 118 points, and Mahomes is throwing the ball all over the yard. But they've also given up 92. So let me go back to this one more time. The Rams are a plus 66-point differential. If everybody stays healthy on that team, they're coming out of the NFC. I know Philly's the champs. I'm not disrespecting them. The Rams are coming out. On a local front here in Phoenix, was at the game last night. And Sam Bradford, bless his heart. You know, that's how they do it down south, right? Right before you insult someone, you say, bless your heart. So that way, it's like, oh, who told you your hair looked pretty, sweetheart? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Who told you that perfume smelled good? I'm going to give a bless your heart to Sam Bradford. Bless your heart, son. People tell you the time of being in an apartment building back in the pocket and dinking and dunking, those days are old. Bless your heart. The Cardinals can get out of this for a lot of reasons. I wrote about it last night on the sportscave.com, cave is always with the K, that the Cardinals should go ahead and make that move to Josh Rosen. Or rather, the question was, has the Rosen era started? Now, Steve Wilks, Cardinals head coach, sounded a lot like Hugh Jackson. A lot like Hugh Jackson. I don't know. Got to look at the film. We know Hugh Jackson on Thursday night after Cleveland came back and won, and Baker Mayfield let him back, and there was this energy about the team, and you actually saw balls going downfield, and everyone said, oh, boy, well, Tyrod Taylor threw a beautiful pass against New Orleans downfield. It was 4th and 5, and they were losing by 6. He didn't have a choice. And it was a beautiful pass. It was like a handoff. But Baker came in. There was energy. People were happy. Wide receivers, they weren't waiting to get open to get passes. He was throwing them open. Did he make dumb passes? Yes. Is he going to make some dumb passes? Yes. Will he make rookie mistakes? Yes. But he's a rookie. Now, come back to Phoenix with me. After the game last night, Steve Wilks, I don't know. We'll see. Let's give it time. I want to look at the film. Now, I'm like thinking, I even wrote this. I heard that before. Sounds vaguely familiar. Guess what happened about an hour ago or so? Moving forward, Josh Rosen will be our quarterback. Of course he's going to be a quarterback. You don't draft a quarterback in the first round for him not to be your quarterback. So it's official starting next week in Seattle. Josh Rosen will be the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. And listen, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals cut Sam Bradford because they can save $4 million against unpaid bonuses. Online with me right now, the one, the only, Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy down in South Beach. Tony, $4 million the Cardinals can save, cut loose Sam Bradford right now.
By the way, of all the most annoying or infuriating coaching cop-outs, is there anything worse than I got to look at the film after everyone watched the game unfold live? We don't have that excuse. We still got to write the damn article.
Every coach says that.
I know. It's the most,
every coach says
it's the most annoying cop-out.
Yep. I got to watch the film. Got to watch the film.
Like,
look,
it's only about quarterbacks. The one guy they stand next to almost every time during the game. Like, we're not looking at the same thing here? You got to, like, double-check? I can come back to you on Tuesday about this?
Well, Monday, because today is a coach's meeting day. Here's what I'll say the difference is. With Hugh Jackson, I don't know what film he had to look at. He had all the training camp. He knows what Baker Mayfield does. He knows his accuracy. He knows he'll take chances. He'll throw the ball downfield. He knows Tyrod Taylor won't. And he saw the difference in the game where Tyrod was 4-14. There's no energy. The team wasn't moving. He has to wait for guys to get open. He saw that. And then he saw what Baker did. So I wasn't buying that because, listen, Cleveland had not won a game in 635 days. If he had trotted out Tyrod Taylor or announced Tyrod Taylor as a starter and trots him out next week, do you realize the uproar that Cleveland would have been in? He may as well just have quit then. So we all knew that was a farce. Down here, I'll say it was a little different just because Sam Bradford was so anemic when it came to the first two games, only 6 points. But he did throw 2 touchdowns in the first half against the Bears. He did have him up 14-3, 14-0 at one point. And so there was a glimmer of hope for him, especially since Rosen didn't get in the game until there was 4:31 left. And in the end, he ended up throwing an interception, and then he ended up being sacked to end the game when they got the ball back. So on him, I'll say, well, you can almost kind of sell me on that. But Bradford's going nowhere, man. And if you're 0-3, Tony, you know this. In the NFL, when you're 0-3, you're not making the playoffs. 90% of the time, you're not making the playoffs. Kickstart your future.
Yeah, I don't know why the Cardinals even bothered bringing Sam Bradford in or Mike Glennon on top of that after drafting their quarterback in the first round. Sam Bradford won the Heisman Trophy in 2008, and in the decade since, I have not once seen a good Sam Bradford game. And he still gets signed by teams to be the starter.
In fairness to him, he wasn't bad in Minnesota at first. In fairness to him. But I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. Now, I can understand you bringing him in to keep the seat warm until Rosen was ready because Rosen may not have been ready to roll out week one. Hell, Rosen would not have been ready to play against the Bears and that Bear defense right away. But when you fall to 0-3, I think everything else is out the window at that point. And obviously, you kickstart your future at some point, and that was the time to kickstart the future. But listen, I have another question for you, Mr. South Beach, Mr. Miami Dolphin, Mr. Miami Hurricane, Mr. FIU, Mr. Miami Marlins. Did I get them all? There's more. I don't have time for that.
There's more.
Defensive end William Hayes. I know there's a lot more. Miami Dolphins defensive end William Hayes tore his ACL attempting not to get a flag for his body weight landing on Derek Carr, and now he's out for the year. How frustrating is it to play for a league that you know, and goddamns be out the window, they're going to lie through their teeth, that you know, no matter what the league tells you, no matter what lie they tell you, you are not important unless you're a quarterback. Because they don't give a damn about William Hayes hurting his leg as long as Derek Carr can get back up. What is explain that to me.
It's unexplainable. And this is coming from a guy who saw this from the sidelines, being right there with my camera, being able to, I think it was like right where it happened. And I don't know if it was the same, I don't remember if it was the same play as the Hakeem Spence ejection, which was a kind of a funny visual where you had like one guy do a sack dance and then a dog pile come in like right behind him. But it's weird how we're just like, we're going into this level of, it feels like non-contact injuries are going up and play and flags against defensive players for tackling quarterbacks are also going up, but everything else is going down. And I think at some point there's got to be a middle ground where I know maybe the tackling needs to adjust, but getting the mentality of I got to get the quarterback, but I can't get him too much, I think it's going to hurt the game a lot. Or at least the players that are playing the game. It's hurting them right now.
Here's what I said, because quarterbacks make so much money and they eat up so much of your cap. And I meant to talk about this with Ed Smith when he was on Friday from played pro ball, played for the Falcons when they were the Dirty Birds, went to the Super Bowl. I think they should reduce salary caps with the quarterback. And by that I mean, I think the quarterback should have a percentage given to him that doesn't affect the cap. So if the cap is, say, $100 million or $120 million, let's do $100 million for math purposes, you can pay your quarterbacks 20% of what the cap is, that $100 million, without it impacting your cap. Now, if you carry three quarterbacks, obviously you got to do different division. If you carry two, different division. So I know in a sense you're paying your starters more than your backups, but that happens anyway. And then if you go over that 20%, then you start affecting the $100 million part of the salary cap. And I say that because you have players that are really good players that are taking less money because you know you got to pay the quarterback. And this way everyone gets a payday. And you know what the NFL will do. They'll just make $6 hot dogs $13. They'll pass that price right on. And I know that doesn't help in what I'm saying with avoiding the quarterback and touching the quarterback and doing all that. But then it becomes less of a liability financially, I guess, to your overall salary cap as a team if the quarterback isn't held so much against that. Then maybe you can go out and get a backup that's a really good backup, because if you pay one guy $20 million and it doesn't count against your cap, you probably can get another 10 or 15 to a good backup that can come in case anything happens.
Well, one thing we saw early on recently is teams that are most positioned to win a Super Bowl are the ones that don't pay the quarterbacks and pay everyone else. And the ones they pay the quarterback, the rest of the team suffers because of the salary cap and cap casualties. We're seeing that right now with Seattle as a prime example. I think that's something you'll probably look into. Maybe get a either cap quarterback or move them out of the cap. Maybe separate that too. It would make more sense for all the teams like front offices. But I don't see how the owners would go for that.
Well,
because I think they did that. I think they did that because they want to keep it they want to limit their spending or limit everyone else's spending. Because could you imagine someone like Jerry Jones or Stan Kroenke without a salary cap?
But it's still a cap.
Everyone.
It'll be a league percentage. So the league will have the same rules. So they'll all have, 20% of the cap, 15% of the cap, whatever, will be allotted to quarterbacks only. But speaking of which, before we get into that, because we don't have a lot of time, last thing on pro football, speaking of quarterbacks, speaking of injuries, it is confirmed Jimmy G is out for the rest of the year, torn ACL. Very unfortunate. The only part that's fortunate, I guess, if there is a silver lining, first week, so even after a complete nine-month rehab and then a month that they like to give to be safe after, he should be back for game one next year. But as we all know, that effectively ends San Francisco's quest to return to any type of anything.
I mean, that team was struggling before the injury, and it looks similar to what happened to Ryan Tannehill last year. They can always swing a trade for someone else's backup. I think I heard one most discussed was them possibly talking to the Baltimore Ravens about getting Robert Griffin III.
RG3.
Someone who's healthy, mobile, and is familiar with Kyle Shanahan. That might be an option.
Hey, I know this guy that played quarterback for a few years, led San Francisco to a Super Bowl that they ended up losing, and rumor has it he's still unemployed. Okay, I'm just kidding. We know that.
Is he the same guy that's also doing it? He let someone assume you in your house? Yeah, come on, man. We'll discuss all this stuff. Here, have some stops.
Tell me what's going on in Miami.
Well, after dispatching the small but pesky in-city rival FIU, the Hurricanes are 3-1. They feel like LSU is – that loss is, like, way behind in the rearview mirror. They got North Carolina on Thursday to set up their classic matchup against Florida State the week after. With the Kosi Perry under center, the offense looks a lot better than before and probably someone that they can build on the way towards possibly playing Clemson once again for the ACC. The schedule doesn't really look that good. Florida State's not good. No one respects North Carolina. Virginia Tech lost to Old Dominion. So even though it looks like Miami can just run the table on their way towards the conference championship game, I don't think anyone will use their schedule to prop them up as a possible top 10 team. They will get in by record and reputation alone. But I think with the Kosi Perry as the quarterback, they could be a threat to make it into the playoffs should they win the ACC.
Tony, let's just be honest, man. Let's just be honest. On a good day, Ohio State could possibly beat Alabama if everything goes right for them. Clemson could probably beat Alabama if everything goes right for them. Everyone else is playing for bowl games because Alabama is truly just that good. So there's not another team out there that's really going to give them a run for the money. What I don't want to see, what I absolutely don't want to see, is somehow a team like Miami or A&M who just got waxed by, or they can't, I forget their SEC now, or Texas or Notre Dame or one of those teams, Stanford, bless your heart. I do not want to see them go and play in a playoff game against Alabama. Can we just now, on this day, go ahead and say, for the playoffs, let's just put in Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and we'll find an Oklahoma, and let's just play it. Because anyone you put in outside of those four teams will not have a shot, and we're wasting everyone's time and money.
UCF?
Yeah. And so
national champions?
I will say this. Scott Frost, what's a better job?
Well, you're not going to just get a job open and expect, all right, things are going to be good. Like, I realized this in Arizona. It's not just they just fired Rich Rod for some controversy. The team sucked. So he brought some guy over there, and he still has to coach a bunch of garden gnomes he hasn't recruited yet. So I think that's the same thing that happened with Scott Frost in Nebraska. Nebraska's garbage. He shows up, doesn't really make it better the first year. Maybe in 2 years' time, he'll have just as much of a force as he did in Orlando. But after 1 month in, yeah, UCF is still looks like a much better job.
If Urban Meyer is still at Ohio State in 4 years, Scott Frost isn't going to get by Urban Meyer.
If he wasn't gone, there's no getting rid of Urban Meyer.
No. We have only a couple minutes left. A couple quick fires off I want to get. Tiger Woods is back. And listen, Tony, people can say what they want about Tiger. I don't really care. You can be a Tiger fan. You can hate Tiger. I don't really care. There is not one golfer on this earth that can start walking up to the 18 and have that crowd behind him like he's a damn Pied Piper of golf. And have them mindlessly follow him. And for people to say, he's not good for golf, he's not this, he's not that, they're out of their damn minds. Because that right there, that video right there of him yesterday with all those people following him is what he does for golf when he's in your city and what he does for golf when he's on your TV. That's the Tiger effect. And him winning sets off everything and puts a lot more money in a lot more people's pockets.
I don't know the thing about golf. It's never been my sport. I tried it once at the tee and I got frustrated by it. I don't know why that's the sport where you just find your guy and that's the one person you root for. If there's people right now that look better than Tiger Woods, with the exception of that weekend, I don't know why people just still constantly root for this guy. And then when he is good, they follow him like a messiah. It makes no sense to me.
He's the Pied Piper. Other quick things, real quick. LeBron said the Lakers are a long way from the Warriors. Duh. I asked Ryan McDonough today, what does success look like? And he said, basically, I'm paraphrasing. I'll have the quote up later. A vast improvement on last year. Team won 21 games last year. So, let's do that. Asked DeAndre Ayton about the Joel Embiid deal, and he said basically he's going to let his play do the talking because he hasn't scored a basket in the NBA. The Diamondbacks are officially eliminated on the baseball front. So that's done here. The last game is Wednesday against the Dodgers. Tony, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
You can catch some of my writing on thesportskid.com. I recently joined Dolphin Maven as a photojournalist to also write. So you can catch all my goodies on Twitter as well at Tony Capobianco.
And like I meant, Tony, I didn't say it, but I'm not running from it. ASU did lose to Washington. That's not a surprise. We'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow as well. Not a good loss. Expected them to lose, but not a good loss. Explain more tomorrow. At the Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page, Cave Dogs with a K, like Tony said, thesportscave.com. He's one of the best writers in this country, y'all. Check him out. Cave is always with the K. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports. Look at Instagram, y'all. It's going to be real busy. Suns Media Day was today. A lot of stuff going up this week, so make sure you check all that out. Until tomorrow, we're back at our usual 1 o'clock time. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a good rest of your Monday.